We're on the record. Good morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Even those of us who never worked steel at Sparrows Point felt we watched it die over the first decade of the 21st century until the last owner shut the doors for good in 2012. At its peak, in the mid-20th century, it was the biggest steel plant in the world. More than 30,000 people worked there, fed their families with what they earned, and created community among the blast furnaces and hot mills. A decade ago, after steel left, Sparrows Point was a scene of piled rubble, abandoned buildings, collapsing infrastructure, and contaminated groundwater. Then what? This week, John Lee, who covers Baltimore County for WIPR, broadcast on WIPR an extensive report on the new life at Sparrows Point. And he joins us now to share some of the reporting behind his reporting. Welcome back to the show, John.
Thank you, Sheila.
What's the big picture? What do you want people to take away from your reporting about Sparrows Point?
Well, first I would say that when I was first visited that site in 2015, early 2015, it was exactly like what you just described. It was a ghost town. That's what the county executive called it. And just these buildings that had long been abandoned, being rusted out, just mounds of rubble all over the place, just cables and wires and all kinds of just stuff all over the place. And when Trade Point Atlantic came in to develop that property, it was hard to picture then what this could become. But over the past 8-9 years, what's happened has been really, I think arguably you would have to say it's the biggest development in the Baltimore area. I can't think of anything that rivals it. Maybe Port Covington is in the ballpark, but I don't think so. It has been a complete change of the use of that land and the return of jobs to a part of the region that really needed them. It's been quite the transformation, and it's an ongoing transformation.
And of course, your polished report about it is on WIPR.org, and we will link to it from the On the Record page to make it even easier to find. You talked to County Councilman Todd Crandall, the Republican who represents the district that includes Sparrows Point. His father worked at the mill, the steel mill, for 49 years until he was pink-slipped. Crandall told you that decades of broken promises had teed up a lot of skepticism by the time Trade Point Atlantic bought the property in 2014.
I mean, look, we were jaded because so many promises had been made. We're going to come in and we're going to do so many great things, and nothing came to fruition. But what Trade Point Atlantic did differently is engage the community on a quarterly basis, I think it was. This is where we are. This is the challenges that we're having. This is how we're dealing with your concerns.
John, you were at a lot of those Trade Point Atlantic meetings with the people.
Yes, I was. And what you had in there, as the councilman described, was a room full of skeptical people, a room full of people who had been touched in one way or the other by the closing of Bethlehem Steel. And they needed convincing. And so what the developers at Trade Point Atlantic did, and I really thought it was kind of showed the way on how developers might want to treat people in communities that they're affecting. They had a very open process. They would they had the maps out. They had the experts there, and people could go from one place to the other, whether they're discussing the contamination here or the development of this part of the property there, and ask whatever questions they wanted to ask of those developers, and they would get an answer. And as Councilman Crandall had said, you know, he could get an answer too. He could reach out to the developers and say, my constituents are wondering about this, and he would hear back from them. So sometimes you hear about developers who do just the opposite. You know, they kind of put up a wall. They're kind of evasive about what they're going to do. These guys did it differently, to the point, Sheila, where they even had Costas Inn come in to cater, which if you've ever been to Costas Inn, that's pretty sweet. So part of the whole effort to kind of win over the community, it was a master's class on how to do that.
At an event last month announcing that a company building components for offshore wind projects is coming to Sparrows Point, the managing director of Trade Point Atlantic, Carrie Doyle, talked about the Bethlehem Steel legacy and the economic turnaround.
It was an expansive, 5-square-mile peninsula of industry and opportunity, whose historic decline has left a lasting economic and environmental impact throughout this region. But today, the 3,300-acre peninsula serves as a global multimodal logistics hub, providing critical supply chain solutions for over 35 world-class organizations, while also providing a place of employment every day for over 12,000 Marylanders.
12,000 people working at Sparrows Point right now. Mm-hmm. What's the employment outlook?
Well, they are predicting once they are finished developing, which they're saying 5 to 6 years, something like that, give or take, they'll have 15,000 people out there working. Important to remember, though, that when they started this process, they were predicting an overall employment of around 10,000 people at Sparrows Point, and they underestimated. They've actually got more people on site than they thought. So we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, some could look at it and say, well, Bethlehem Steel in its day had 30,000. Now we have 15,000, that's half the jobs, but it's more than zero, which is what was there in 2013, 2014.
What kinds of businesses?
It's a real mix, and I think that's purposeful, because if you think about it, one of the things that did in Bethlehem Steel was that it was one thing. And once that went belly up, then the whole thing was in trouble. What's out at Trade Point is a number of different things, from distribution centers. That was their bread and butter for a while, the Amazons and the Under Armours of the world. But there's a company out there that bottles water. There's a company out there that makes nitrile gloves. There's a company out there that provides like the equipment and clothes that people who work at Sparrows Point need. There's a Royal Farms, for crying out loud. I mean, there's a lot there. And Harley Davidson has a place where you can learn how to ride a Harley, drive a Harley if you want to. So it's a real mix of businesses. And I forgot to mention also the place that's you know, growing vegetables, which they're very proud about that. And they think that's kind of cool out there, where a place that was once a steel plant now has these greenhouses where they're growing vegetables.
Councilman Crandall talked to you about some of the challenges from the revival of Sparrows Point.
So you want to create jobs. You want to return an area back to prosperity, but in an industrial area, the way that Southeast Baltimore County is, there is a price to be paid for that. And the price is that we're going to have more trucking and we're going to have more industry, and we need to strike the appropriate balance, is what I'm trying to say.
What kinds of actions, John, is the county taking to strike this balance?
Well, Councilman Crandall has heard the complaints from his constituents about big trucks rumbling through neighborhoods. That's what's happened. You think about what's out there. A lot of big companies are out there. We're talking about McCormick Spices there. Amazon is there. FedEx is there. Under Armour. Those are distribution centers that those three companies have. So trucks are coming and going from Sparrows Point, from Trade Point Atlantic. And there has been a problem with those big trucks kind of rumbling through neighborhoods. And so what the county is doing, they've actually just started it just in the last month, is they have started a mounting cameras in 7 key neighborhoods that will monitor the height of vehicles so that they can tag those vehicles, you know, give them tickets, try to keep them out of those neighborhoods. They're in a period right now where it's kind of an amnesty period as people get used to it. But at some point, I don't know off the top of my head what the fine's going to be, but they'll start fining those truckers that go through neighborhoods. So as the councilman talked about, trying to find the balance where if you live in eastern, southeastern Baltimore County, it's an industrial area. A lot of it is industrial, and that's what the area has. So, and that's important because that gives you the jobs. But you want to balance that with the quality of life that people are having in the neighborhoods who live in eastern Baltimore County.
That's WIPR's Baltimore County reporter John Lee here on The Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about his reporting about the revival of Sparrows Point, where the development by Trade Point Atlantic has created 12,000 jobs. Of course, another challenge in making use of Sparrows Point, the Sparrows Point Peninsula, comes from all the pollution left by the steel era. Yeah. Paul Smale is director of litigation at the Chesapeake Bay Foundation. He told you it would be up to the Federal Environmental Protection Agency how to clean up Bear Creek.
My understanding right now is that the EPA is undertaking a remediation investigation and feasibility study to determine what the appropriate course of action is out there. We're dealing with, you know, legacy contamination from the time years and years ago when the steel mill was using Tin Mill Canal is essentially a dumping ground. So this is, you know, greases, oils, metals, PCBs.
Grease, metals, PCBs, that sounds ominous. Do you have a sense, John, of whether the cleanup will delay further revival of Sparrows Point?
No, I don't think so. Important to remember that when you talk about the cleanup of Sparrows Point, the states in charge of the land and the federal government, Environmental Protection Agency, in charge of the water. And so you really have two things going on at once. And so the cleanup of the land continues with the state sort of overseeing it as Trade Point does it. That's actually shifted to a very important part of Sparrows Point called Coke Point, which is one of the most polluted parts of the property. And they are in the process of cleaning that up now. But as far as the Superfund cleanup site in Bear Creek, that's going to be the responsibility of the federal government, the Environmental Protection Agency. And actually, the developers at Trade Point are actually kind of hopeful that because the land, because Sparrows Point is so active, you know, this is a Superfund cleanup site that's not out in the middle of nowhere. It's right next to this rapidly developing property that has thousands of people there every day. So perhaps that will light a fire under the federal government to maybe move as quickly as they can on the Superfund site. Now, that's wishful thinking from the developer. The EPA is not saying that, but perhaps it will help speed up the cleanup that's happening on the property. Perhaps it will help speed up the cleanup that's happening in the water.
But when they talk about perhaps another 3,000 jobs coming to Sparrows Point, that's even if Coke Point doesn't get cleaned up quickly?
Oh, Coke Point's going to get cleaned up. That's sort of that's the land. And so that's still being cleaned up by Trade Point. That's being overseen by the Maryland Department of the Environment. They have every intention of having that cleaned up in time to bring in actually a terminal for kind of those big ships, that international ships that bring cargo in. They're getting that part of the property ready for that project over the next 4 or 5 years. Bear Creek's another matter. Bear Creek is where the Tin Mill Canal, as you were saying, just dumped for decades just all of this awful stuff into Bear Creek and creating this sediment that's just they have to figure out what they're going to do with it, whether you disturb the sediment by cleaning it up or just leave it there. These are things that have to be figured out. But as far as the cleanup on the property itself, that's continuing, and I don't see what's happening at the Superfund site Bear Creek having much of an effect on that.
County Executive Johnny Olszewski makes the point that the redevelopment on the peninsula sends ripples beyond Sparrows Point.
You see it not just on site, but you see it throughout the local economy here in Southeast Baltimore County. You see it in home values increasing. You see it in restaurants and other businesses cropping up and being successful. And you see it across the region. I mean, we know that this is a site that employs primarily Baltimore County residents, but this is a site that also benefits Anne Arundel County and Baltimore City, Harford County. The employment draw is from all over the region, and I think it's a net benefit for this community here in Sparrows Point. It's a win for Baltimore County and, of course, the state.
You cover the whole county, John. Do you have a sense that the Sparrows Point projects are buoying things up in other parts of the county?
I can't speak for the parts of the county outside the eastern part of the county where there has been an effect. You can see that businesses are coming back. There's certainly, I think, an optimism now in that part of the county that was not there 6-7 years ago. Certainly, I think from the county executive's point of view, you know, when you have that kind of growth, that means taxes. That means more money for the county in general. It's a good thing for the county that's happening. You can also, Trade Point has had very little trouble getting support that it needed from governments, be it the local government, Baltimore County. Some years ago, the county council gave nearly $80 million to Trade Point to build roads and sewer lines, water lines, and no one really batted an eye at that as far as passing that. There are a slew of tax credits out there, state tax credits, others. So that tells you, I think, that both local and state government leaders see it as a real bonus. And also important to note that governors tend to show up there on a fairly regular basis. Governor Moore was out there just in April to announce this new development that's going to be creating components for offshore wind, which they're really excited about. There's going to be two companies out there that are going to be involved in that. So, you know, when governors show up, that usually means something's up, and that then and it's caught their eye. And Governor Hogan was out there a number of times as well.
John, thanks for your reporting, and thanks for telling us about it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
John Lee covers Baltimore County for WIPR. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we have a link to his reporting, as well as to a series about the history of steel at Sparrows Point that was created for the Baltimore Museum of Industry by Aaron Henkin. Short break on the record, and then a Stoop story. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us.